Hello. How the heck are you doing? What a crazy old time. Welcome to my bedroom. I'm just going to make sure that this is actually all working in the way it should be working. Because I honestly, oh, is it? Yeah. Hurrah. Hang on. Let me just actually look at that. What a crazy time. I literally feel a bit kind of bonkers today, but so excited to be connecting live with you. I'm hoping the tech works because I'm pretty sure that everybody in the world will be using their computer at this time. I'm hoping you don't mind the new surroundings and maybe the slightly different acoustics of being in my bedroom, because I'm sure, like you, you've had to adjust a little bit. So my youngest Lola is at home and she's set up in the office next to me. There's a little bit of a space to the left of me. If you've ever had coaching at my house, there's usually a chair there. So I've pushed her study desk in there and had to kind of reboot an old computer to get some online learning capabilities happening for her. Godfrey, who, if you haven't met my husband, works at Auckland University. He teaches popular music, and they have all had to continue. So from education is continuing, which is amazing, because it means everybody has resources. And so to a degree, it's kind of business as usual. I've always done, as you know, this kind of online carry-on. So things are a wee bit, when I say business as usual, you know what I'm saying. But we're trying to keep moving forward. And then you have this sort of added integration of families in a space. So I just want to send you love. And if you're making it live today, welcome you. If it's your first time because of not being able to in the past, I hope you find it really informative. Today is going to be a big one. I have pages of notes. So I just want to let you know, come and go as you please. Let me know. I can't for some reason. Let me just get the comments thing happening up in front of my face. I can see the comments that are coming through. So if you want to if you want to ask questions or leave some comments, and I'm going to ask for some interaction today in the comments because I have so much that I'd like to share with you in addition to the pre and performance rituals, tips, and managing performance anxiety kind of topic that I wanted to chat with, which, by the way, is the last kind of focal point in the Ultimate Singing Development Plan. Now, I would have popped that resource into the Facebook group and into one of the pages, but I'm going to make sure it's in there today after the session. And you'll see all the things that I like to make sure we've had a chance to cover when we're working together. I'm just going to make sure. Yeah, so if you've got questions, I'm going to keep an eye on my live. Yeah. And they will come up. And if you feel like being a bit fancy and you want to do a share screen, like get in the hot seat and come live with me, oh, that would be a celebration. I would be happy. But first, yes. Welcome. I hope you're okay. I hope everything on this day in particular, like literally, who knew, hey? Who knew last week that we would be here today? So I'm hoping to basically just give you resources consistently like this online, because this is how we roll usually, and to be sure that some of those resources are how to navigate this intense time, because, you know, it's so weird. Am I right? Okay, so I've got my notes. I'm just going to go through them because I'm going to make myself as available to you as possible today, but I've kind of added in a couple of extra things. The first thing is just navigating our current situation, some ideas on how to stay positive and keep creatively focused, because I don't know about you, but I don't really feel like being creative and feel like doing, extras, because I have maybe a different landscape ahead of me. That was my first thought. Like, I literally just want to lie in bed and do nothing, but you kind of can't do that. So I just want to give you some ideas of what has helped me to kind of feel energized and feel like continuing to be creative, and ways that we can come out stronger at the end of this. So I'm going to talk about that. Then we're going to talk about the pre-performance tips, basically pre- and post-performance rituals that you can use, as well as things that will keep you, keep anxiety, different varying levels of anxiety in check, and how to navigate that. And then I actually have a question that's been submitted to me today that I want to talk about at the end. So yeah, I'm going to try and just charge on. I've tried to be super, super succinct. Oh, I see somebody. Hello, Natasha. This is very exciting. So what happens now when you guys are jumping on, what happens is I have some software. I will see you jump into kind of like a waiting room. And then you can hang out there until the end, which is probably when we'll chat. You can send me messages like ideally in Facebook, but the Be Live app that I've encouraged, that I've given you instructions to jump onto, that will help you to come live on screen with me if you've got questions or you want to talk to me while we're here. And the cool thing is, like, this is going to be our new norm for a while, and maybe moving forward when we see the benefit of these tools. Like, I live my life online, so I'm set up for online coaching, for video tutorials, for video performance reviews or song studies. So this can work. It works all the time. And we'll talk a little bit about that later on as well. But yeah, so what's going to happen if you do want to jump on, like you did, Natasha? That was so cool. That was quite exciting. It goes into like a little, you go into a waiting room, and then when you're ready or when I give you a heads up, I'll bring you up. So we'll be split screen and then we can chat. But remember, everyone else can hear us chatting as well too, which is the point, because we want to share. We want to use this platform as an online opportunity to connect. So yeah, if you want to jump on, jump in. And but jump into the waiting room, I guess, and I will bring you up live with lots of notice. Okay, so it's going to be a little bit, it's going to be all over the shop today. I'm feeling like, I'm holding on. I'm feeling positive, but it feels like a new normal is about to happen. So we'll do our very best and let's do this. So as I mentioned, if we do go a bit longer, this is going to be available in the Facebook group as a replay. So don't feel like you need to stay on the whole time. And of course, there will also be the link posted in the Big Notes Get Boats on the Big Notes Get Boats website for later on, so you can review it at your leisure. I'll send the link via Sunday email as well. Okay, so here are some tips that I wanted to share on how to stay focused, creative, and positive specifically while we're in lockdown, but these apply all the time, right? So like I said in the beginning, I know that everyone's situation is different. The environment that we have, one of the reasons that people opt to have in-person sessions are because they want the one-on-one, the in-person, because they don't have the space to practice at home. So I understand that that can be a challenge. Like, I am literally in my bedroom right now. And I think we need to think a little bit outside the square of ways that things can work. I don't know if I've ever told you that when I'm at gigs, because I'm a massive introvert, so when I'm at gigs, I literally go and sit in the toilet for my breaks, just to get, I call it like my green room, just to get some time to myself, you know. And what the point I'm making is that, like, if you literally can only do a session where you're in the bathroom, I will understand. I've literally been there. We can make this work. If you want to sit in your car and do a session, we can make it work. As long as you've got headphones, great internet connection, and I can see you like this, ideally for any videos that you do, eye level, maybe even like a phone will be down a little bit so I can see you sort of from the torso up. In fact, I might even leave it like that. You got my bed a little bit in the background, but you get it. So I get that everyone's situation is different, but we can make this work. I am in the process of also turning my bedroom, and I'm going to take a picture of my setup. You guys are going to laugh your asses off when I post this on Facebook. It's so not what I'm used to. I'm sitting in between the bed and the wall, and my desk of, like, Godfrey and I have a set of drawers each, like, pushed into corners. I've got my bedside table holding the micro, you know, it's ghetto as, but I think we need to flip it on its script, flip the script and flip things on their head and be brave to try new things and to patch things together. And I'm literally going to be turning my wardrobe into a booth because I still have recording work that I'm going to be doing over the next few while, songwriting and singing sessions that I have to keep up with. That'll be fun. I'll give you pictures. But yeah, so with everything going on, think on your feet, you can get through this. But most important, wallow for a little bit. That's my first tip. Let yourself feel what's going on, you know. It's hard to be positive when things are scary and you've lost your gigs and you don't know what's happening in the future. Don't ignore it. Like, don't dig your head in the sand and pretend like nothing's happening, because things are happening. And it's disappointing. You know, my symphony gigs have been cancelled, even though gigging isn't my first thing. These have been my Australian ones, at least, have been cancelled. And it's what I look forward to, you know. And I was like, stink, that really sucks. I have so many friends, and you as well, we talked about this last week, who have very uncertain kind of touring schedule, things that you've been planning forever to eventuate. It sucks. Let's call it the way that it is. Like, it is not cool to have these things that we've worked towards cancel. So let yourself wallow for a bit. Like, I reckon, give yourself 3 days. I had about that many days where I was just like, and now, thankfully, I also have great support in my kind of community that I live in, my online community, and I have some really positive things that I'd like to share with you that have helped. So blob for a few days. Then I want you to refocus and try your best. I'm just going to read my tips to up-level your creative situation. Like I said, think outside the square, and I will send pictures of my ghetto setup. If you need help with mindset, I, like I said, have tips today, but reach out to me. Please reach out to me and we can get through this together. That's the main point. Number two tip. I've kind of been doing this for as many years as I can remember, since I started studying again about 6 years ago. That was a key thing that helped me to focus, is limiting media consumption. I did it in the beginning to allow white space in my brain. And then I realized, oh my God, I feel so much better not knowing what is going on in the world every minute of the day. So I stopped watching the news. And, you know, people give me shtick about it, but the bottom line is, especially in moments like this, the key is to be present and to focus on the moment that you're in. Focus on what you can actually have some little bit of control over. And that is how you feel, how your family feels, what you can do in the immediate future to look after yourself. You know, like, literally, what am I going to do in this next 5 minutes? Cool, I'm going to do my sirens. I'm going to stretch my body. I'm going to meditate. Whatever. I needed that white space to be able to study, but then I found it really helpful for my mental well-being to not obsess, because I'm a control freak. And, you know, do certainly suffer from anxiety. So it takes a second for me. Like, I'm like, oof. Focus on the important stuff. So please limit media consumption, the news, the COVID-19 information that's coming at you. Go with reliable sources. I'm really, you know, the government, gosh, power to Jacinda, man. What a boss. All of the resources that we have that are coming out of the government, those are the ones that are the ones you want to focus on. Check in with them once a day. You just don't need to be staying up, you know, hour by hour plays. And if you need to and that makes you feel good, please continue that. But if it doesn't make you feel good, consider changing it. The third thing is, like, find joy every single day. Look for the positive. Give thanks and be grateful, have gratitude around the things that we do have. Refill your creative cup with music, documentaries, books, anything that inspires you and makes you feel good. And please share some recommendations in the group. If you've got music that you wanted to release and maybe things have not gone the way that you wanted to, please release it and please, like, post it in our private group. Even if it's unreleased, we can be mindful and present. And if you want feedback, ask for feedback. If you don't want feedback, please state that as well. But let's support each other. You know, let's just continue to do share ideas. And I think in my email on Sunday, the last documentary I watched was the Taylor Swift documentary, which was amazing. She is a badass. I mean, we all know she's a badass, but it was great to see her work ethic. It was great to see Joel, feel a little bit connected by him, to see her be such a impossible. So Miss Americana is a great watch. Of course, you know, documentaries are a one-sided view, so you always have to think laterally and critically about anything you read or see. But at this point in time, just do what inspires you. You know, read some doco, read some autobiographies, music ones, listen to new music, or do something that's completely outside of your creative field, like drawing. Baking is my thing. That's what I do. So if you like, I don't eat flour or sugar, but my family gets happy when I need to create white space, because I do that by baking. There's a lot of baking at my house at the moment. Okay, the last thing, and this is really important, like focus on your mindset. How do you want to come out of this? What do you want your voice, your music, and your overall creative output or mindset to be when you come out of this? Now, we will be coming out of this. There's already been some positive developments in countries that went into lockdown earlier, like in China, where things are, you know, quickly getting better. So we will be coming out of it. How do you want to emerge? Now, I laughed and laughed and laughed when I saw a post by Taika saying that, you know, really, it would be so cool if we went into lockdown and 4 weeks later came out shredded. But in reality, we're humans and we're all going to come out looking like the people on WALL-E. So I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm really going to focus on looking after myself as best I can. And this is a chance. You've got a chance to do this and really focus on your practices. The challenge of being in close proximity with people is even more of a, it's almost like the fear factor of keeping up with your daily routines, because this is kind of like being on tour, you know, a change of environment, change of situation, a change of pace. So if you can keep your rituals going, you're going to come out of this like vocally shredded and in a really good space creatively. And I know not everybody has, like I'm not one of those people who have more time. Like I've maybe gained the 45 minutes in the morning that I would usually be doing the school run and on the way home. So I've got about 90 minutes in the day, but I'm also navigating having people at home and a slightly different routine. So I get it. You may not have the exact same, you might not have more time to be writing and doing things, and you may not have the inclination. You know, you might be in wallow phase. Go there, but then remember to come out of it. Now, here are some additional ways that I'm planning to help you and connect with you in the coming weeks. Still doing online coaching as per and song studies. So I will, like I said in the beginning, I'll post some resources around what that entails and links to the calendar if you want to get into it. Now, I know that money is an issue for everybody at the moment. So if you really want to maintain your routine, just book the session, select the offline payment, and we'll figure it out. Okay. I just want you to keep going and keep feeling connected. I've said this before this all happened. There are always situations where sometimes, you know, depending on the cycle or the season that you're in, cash flow is not great for creatives. And so this is an ongoing, long-standing thing that I do. I can invoice you and we can sort it out whenever works. So you can still keep coaching with me one-on-one. However, every April and September, this is something I've done the last few years, I always run at the change of seasons, a Get Gig Fit 30-day action plan. And this April is going to be no different. It could not. The timing is just perfect, always. It's always perfect timing, regardless of what's going on in the world. And so that is going to kick off next Wednesday, because that's the 1st of April. And it's a tip a day that you can usually do in under 5 minutes for 30 days. And it's just all a focus to remind you of those base rituals and keep you moving forward. So get into that. The daily tips and the video tutorials roll out on the Big Notes Get Votes platform. So that's the Instagram page and the main Facebook page. Or there's another Facebook group, a private Facebook group for people who have been in my sort of community, have signed up for my resources, but I don't necessarily coach them. So they're contemporary, we're usually in close contact with each other. So it will be going live into those groups daily. So go and give it a follow or a like. Or also, I've decided I will go live on YouTube, on the Facebook page, in the VIP group. It's called, what is that called? I think it's just called Big Notes Get Votes VIPs. But this is also the vocal coaching VIP. Live at once, because I have the capabilities and some software that will help me do that. Okay. So that's going to be rolling out next Wednesday, and it won't be as long as these ones. It'll be like 30 minutes, and I'll just be recapping the week's tips. And for next Wednesday, I'll be talking about what you can expect in the coming weeks. We're almost there. Okay, the other thing is I'm also going to be holding monthly workshops after, because these series of weekly lives, as I mentioned, were to support the overall curriculum and to touch base and give you a resource that you can reflect on. So no matter where you are in your coaching development with me, you've got an insight of what's to come or a refresher of what's been. But I really want to deep dive into some topics, specific topics like vocal warm-ups, or now that this has all happened, I thought something along the lines of, you know, how to record videos, how to live stream, how to get your YouTube channel up and running. Because one of the things that, I mean, this is, it's never been a better time to do it, because I saw on Music Business Worldwide recently that music platform streaming is actually down at the moment, but YouTube viewing of music is up, and we're talking like 1.2% or something like that, but it's up. And I think, you know, I do go on quite a bit about creating performance opportunities, and YouTube is the easiest option to be uploading either acoustic versions of your originals, covers, anything that you can think of, behind the scenes, vlog style, day in the life of, whatever. The point is, YouTube is always going to be a better platform than something like IGTV, purely because it's a search engine. It's the second most used search engine. So if you know how to put the information in at the back end in the way of keywords and hashtags and all that jazz, you can get discovered more easily. The other thing that it does is it creates a body of work and constant connection with your existing or your potential audience. So ideally you'd be posting something once a week, but once a month is fine. I've not posted anything on my YouTube page since I think November, but I generally will go live there. In fact, starting April, I will go live there for the entire year, every single week, if not posting a pre-recorded video and then also doing live. So one will be like a coaching technique, and then one might be a live stream around the mindset or application of that technique to go a little bit deeper into it. So yeah, YouTube is massive, and it's something that this situation is a great prompt to get your YouTube channel up and running. So if you need help with that, like, I'm not an expert, but I certainly do live stream regularly. I do know a little bit about the tech. I can take you behind the scenes of how I use my tech, what I use. I have also done singing videos, which are up on my Big Notes Get Votes page, and I can talk you through how I've done that with, like, on a budget, bootstrapping. Like, I have gear now, but, you know, as of the 1st of April, Big Notes Get Votes, so that's next Wednesday as well, is going to be 5 years old. You know, I started with nothing, literally nothing. And so I've slowly patched together some stuff. But I can show you how I did it in the beginning. Like, literally, I've got a picture. I think I had, like, my phone blue-tacked to the window. It's like, so ghetto. Like, it was ghetto as in the beginning. But, yeah, if you want a workshop like that, then we can spend 2 hours really deep diving into elements like that, ways to make this technology and this current situation work for us. At the end today, I'm going to talk about authentic connection online, because I do, aside from vocal coaching, you know, just thinking of ways that I can help you. How can I help you during this time? Now, I know, like I said, because everybody's situation is different, you may not feel like singing. You know, you might need more inspiration and mindset support. You might think, oh man, I just need strategy now. I really need help with my artist development. What are the plans that I can make? And I do have an artist development coaching curriculum as well. I do help artists. I have a couple of programs, one that I deliver through Auckland Council for one or two artists a year. I've been doing that for a few years. So I use the principles of how my career, how I've pivoted to have, you know, to be a coach, and also how I've used that from a business perspective to be, like, I guess, an entrepreneur, and continue both in music and in coaching. And I use these principles and then, you know, modern tools, because we're in a modern music business. So I share that stuff, and I've had to really understand or learn about how to connect authentically utilizing online platforms. So I'm going to share with you at the end of today, because the question that I got asked was by Yasmin, was how do you continue or how do you navigate when you release stuff and it may not be received in the way that you had intended? So I wanted to give you some really tangible skills and talk you through this module that I have as part of my artist development plan called Authentic Connection, and explain to you how we connect as humans, and then also how that can translate to an online and sharing our music and connecting. So, you know, I can help you with artist development stuff. I can help you with, I'm going to be rolling out the singing content as part of this Get Gig Fit thing, action 30-day action plan, this Gig Fit thing, Get Gig Fit 30-day action plan in April anyway. But do you need something else? What do you need? Tell me what you need. I can help you fill out the forms or talk you through. I can do a screen record, because I will be filling out those forms. You better believe it, that the government has offered up financial assistance to sole traders, small businesses. I can help you fill out forms. We can talk about budgets. Like, literally, planning is my superpower, and strategies. So there are many ways that I can help you, and I just want you to let me know, what do you want? Do you want some resources that help you navigate this COVID-19 situation, or do you want it to be, you know, creative content as usual relative to singing? Let me know. More artist development. That's what I'd like you to share with me. And you can comment here in the group if you have something, but I will be talking you through that authentic connection element at the end of today. I'm trying to keep everything to 30 minutes. I'm doing all right, you know. Okay, so regardless of how we choose to connect in person or online, these performance tips I've got to share with you today are going to be helpful. So I'm going to try and share my screen. Give me a second, and excuse any wobbling. And I might even have to run and get my charger at some point and plug it in, because I ran so fast to set this up that I didn't bring my charger. Okay, let's see, where is it? Here we go. I'm going to share my screen. I've got slides. I'm feeling a little bit flash. Let's see if I can make it work though. Okay, I'm going to show that in the screen, in the stream, and then I'm going to make myself small. Okay. Let's see if I can actually make this work. I think it might be a bit too big, so I'll just size it down a little bit. Hopefully you can see that. So close, eh? So close. And my computer's like going, it's working so hard today. All right. Make this even smaller. See if I can make it work. Talk amongst yourselves. Oh, why does it? No, that's not going to work. Let's try this. I'll just slide through. There we go. Nice. Just make sure you can see everything. Oh. Just let me know if you can't see it, because I can't have the two screens up at the same time. Technology, speaking of technology. working for you. Here we go. Performance confidence. So these slides we just talked through, we'll start off with performing in front of an audience can be great fun, or it can be terrifying, of course, but there are ways that you can prepare. And, you know, I'm going to take you through all of those today. So let's see how we can. Let me see if I can make it full screen and what happens there. I don't know if I can still get to. I'm going to have a look. I'm just going to have a look on the it looks okay, doesn't it? Oh, no, I can see it going full screen. Yeah, let's just roll with it full screen. I can see it's working and you can still see me. All right, so performing in front of an audience, we'll talk about that. Right, here are some main things with getting confident. Pre-performance rituals, if you will. Now, I'm thinking about before you even get into the performance, but also when you're kind of side of stage and getting ready, so I'll be covering everything. Knowing what you're going to do before you get on stage, like where you're going to be standing, where you're going to be setting up, how you're going to walk on, how you're going to walk off, your space that you've got available for you, knowing and having an opportunity to sound check and get that stuff in place is going to help you to deliver a better performance. It's going to lower your anxiety levels because you're literally getting a lay of the land. Now, I know that these situations don't always happen. If you're on like a festival, in a festival situation, you might get a 10-minute line check changeover. And I'm optimistic. I know that we're going to be performing again in the following months, you know, in the coming months. It's going to happen. In fact, people are going to be gagging for the opportunity to see live music. So you better be ready for this when it happens. I want you to come out with like an amazing show that you're ready, like you're so gig fit, vocally, physically, mentally, and from a production and preparation performance preparation perspective, you're ready to go. So that's going to help with this. Before you get on stage, understanding how you move and all the natural progressions that go with relaying your music to an audience is important. How you speak to how you sing the song, and you know that's definitely a technical element. We've talked about all our vocal qualities and how we can connect utilizing those vocal qualities, but it's even down to the way that we think, gesture, and then sing, so that it's very natural and it's a part of storytelling, kind of like you're just having a conversation. So that's how I think about it. I think, you know, like it is a conversation that you're having with the audience when you're performing. Pre-performance rituals, make sure you're warming up. And if you need to, practice using a mirror. Ideally, video yourself and watch back. So all of these elements that I've just mentioned also can be applied to, of course, pre-recording, getting in the studio, doing live stream performances, doing live performances, all of the things. Okay. The reason that we get anxious sometimes, it's the lack of preparation. It's the lack of practice. We are thinking about the audience judging us. We're thinking about not being good enough. We're just basically thinking too much about ourselves. So one of the tips that I like to give is the idea that if you can make it not about you, make it about the audience. Like, especially after we come out of this. And anyway, people usually go and watch music. They go to concerts to escape their reality. They want to be moved. They want to feel things. They don't need our fear. You know, everyone has their own fear all for themselves. They are rooting for us. If someone's paid money or turned up, given energy to turn up to a show, I don't think they're there to watch you fail. I think they're there to feel good and watch you succeed and deliver an amazing performance. So make it about the audience. Make it about the song and the message. As I've said, like the fear of the unfamiliar, if you can get all that tech stuff set up, if you can understand, like if you're rehearsed with your music, you're going to deliver that much more a convincing and confident performance because it's not going to be unfamiliar. And that's just going back to practice and preparation. And then, of course, fear of failing. But if you've ever heard me give some my very sage advice, is that I can give you some frameworks for a failed performance. There are three in my mind. The first one is you poo or wee yourself on stage, things aren't going well. If you vomit, and I have been on stage when someone has vomited, so yep, that was not good. That's a failure. Or if you die dead, and then you don't have to worry. But like, those are the three things. Like we got to keep it light and you got to laugh. But a bum note, don't worry about that. You know, there are so many variables to factor in that I just want you to keep positive. All right. Some other ways, offstage ways of reducing performance anxiety and make changes to the way you behave. So more sleep, less caffeine or any alcohol in general. Like, remove alcohol from the mix if you have performance anxiety. I know that that a lot of musicians like to drink before they go on stage, and I'm not telling you not to drink. I'm just saying if anxiety is an issue, becoming dependent upon something like a downer or like alcohol, it's not, might serve you in the moment, but long term and also after the performance may not serve you. I have a shot at, well, I used to have a shot of tequila with Sola Rosa before we went on stage. I'm not judging. I'm just saying, know what works for you. And if this is an element that's not serving you, take it out. Caffeine, certainly dehydrating for your voice, but if you like it, make sure you balance it out with some water. The pre-performance routines, the warm-ups, positive self-talk, and focusing on what you want the audience to feel, your performance goals, are something that you can do as part of your pre-performance ritual in addition to the vocal warm-ups and stuff like that. So I would always play a hype song, and Bang Bang was my song. You know, bang, bang, da, 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 I know you wanna. Like, it just used to hype me up, and I used to just think, you know, woohoo, let's go, I'm going to get it. And that was what I did. And if I had to, I don't know if I've told you the story, I have an alter ego called Shaniqua Rough Bounce. And when I'm feeling particularly anxious, I would just kind of, 100% inspired by Sasha Fierce and Beyonce, I would just be like, you know what? Shaniqua is going to get on stage and she's going to take the first two songs and she's going to lay it down, and then Cherie's going to run through. And, you know, it's still me, but it's like the most confident version of myself would lead until I felt a little bit better. So that was one of my tricks. All right, what else? Here are the pre-performance routines and preps outlined. Now, you can do this afterwards as well too. So warming up, warming down, stretches in your vocal warm-ups, and you can refer to your practice plan as a guide and just remember to figure out how much time you need to warm up. Eating at an optimum time prior to performance. Hydration, hydration, hydration. If you're not sleeping well because you're touring or whatever, have a disco nap. Use meditation as a tool. If you need to get in the zone, you can communicate with your team about your needs prior to the performance. Look, I just need 5 minutes before I go on stage. Go into your toilet green room if you don't have an actual green room and just kind of center yourself and get ready. Hype song, as I've mentioned. Performance alter ego, Shaniqua Rough Bounce, as you've just been introduced. Some of you may have met her before. Visualize your performance and set the goals. Just work in your mind how you want things to turn out. It's really, really helpful. If you like to exercise before a gig, do it. Some people can feel more tired, but you know your body, and try some stuff. It might really work out well. Like I've mentioned, get good sleep and limit stimulants where possible. So these are the key things here: preparation, practice, perseverance, patience, and play. The four P's are guaranteed to help you express creatively. Let's move through that. So here's some prep. Like I've said, listen to music for fun and inspiration, and we can use these in particular at the moment whilst we are off stage more than we are on stage. Watch live performances, watch those documentaries, but also with what watching live performances, make a note of what you like and what what you like to see and hear so that you can take that into your own performances. When I was teaching at Mains, I would encourage the students to read the classics for some context, some different context for creative and lyrical inspiration. And that really works. That really works. You know, brush up on your technique. I'm going to keep saying that. Collaborate with other musicians. I'm looking into some tools at the moment for on the jamming knot. I will keep researching them and I'll come back to you with what I find. One of my students, Kenji, was, I think he, I haven't spoken to him in a while, but I think he has been working on some kind of e-jamming tool that in particular helps to reduce latency and so that we can share sessions and jam, which would be, Kenji, if you're here or if you see this and you are in a position to share, do you want to do that? Anywho, get your set list prepped, you know, get the set list so that you know what it is that, what the songs you're going to be singing, write the keys and the tempos down so that you can craft the flow of the set. And you might even notice that you'll see potentially a pattern with tempos and keys that you favor. And that's cool. As long as it's intentional and you know that it's going to, the overall performance, the delivery or the flow, you can dictate that by maybe even shifting the tempos ever so slightly just for live. You can have live tempos and live keys. You know, like if a particular song that you've written is super hard, you nail it in the studio, don't be afraid to take it down a semitone just for live, or to shift up any rhythm. So you can do all of this stuff to craft your set in advance. Practice. The other thing you can do, we've talked about all of these elements of creating performance opportunities. So open mic nights, busking, live streaming. That's what we're going to be doing now for a little while. Tailor your performance to suit the different locations. And of course, if you're at home, it's a different, you know, it's a different beast. Be ready to roll, you know, and be, what's the word I'm looking for? Be flexible. Good songwriting means that you can strip a song back acoustically. So even if you've got a 10-piece band and then you find yourself stuck in a house like this, sing the song live acoustically. Make yourself up a backing track with GarageBand if you need to. Just keep moving. That's the most important thing, and be able to tailor the songs and the performance to your different location. Using gestures, your eyes, to communicate with your audience as well as your songs and your storytelling, and we can use this to do that with voice qualities. Understanding stage angles, and so this is something that it's like the understanding that you've got like 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock and 2 o'clock when you're performing, and working towards or engaging with the entire audience. Now, I know that there are some styles of music where it's cool to have your back to the audience, and you do you, but I'm just going to go at you with the base level performance tips. And as you know, I'm a huge fan of videoing and watching back any practices or performances, and send them to me. If you trust my constructive critiques, I can do a song study critique for you, or just anybody, you know, get some feedback. But most importantly, you need to be where the buck stops. So watch it back and see how you feel about the performance. And if you want to tweak anything, make a plan to do so. When it comes to performing, a dress rehearsal approach is great. So wear the clothes that you're going to be wearing, especially heels, if you choose to wear heels, or kind of jumpsuits like me when I was doing Symphony. I really had to kind of try the clothes on and feel how I was going to move, rather than having your first performance and then not knowing, oh god, I can't pick up my water because my suit's so tight or whatever. I'm trying to go fast so I don't hold you up for too long today, but I hope you're finding this helpful. I can give you these this PDF, these slides as well too. Learn how to set up your instruments yourself on stage, and that includes your microphone. So have your own mic, ideally. Gosh, now it's even more relevant than ever. And hopefully some of the vocal hygiene practices that have come in through studios and different things will continue. But yeah, learn how to set up quickly on stage, and you know, practice at home to take your time, but learn how to do it quickly. Mic technique, make sure you've got great mic technique. If you're playing an instrument where you're doing BVs, lead, whatever, have a stage plot and a tech writer that you can give to people so they know where to set you up if you're playing a particular a gig, a bigger gig, or even a smaller gig, any gig actually. Have a tech writer. I have some examples from when I was working on Christmas in the Park that I can share with you if you need some place. Big band tech writers and stuff. Again, you're probably going to see this on every page, but warm up and cool down after every performance practice or actual performance and session, studio session as well. And of course, those who practice regularly do develop better technical skills and greater opportunity to express creatively. Rehearse. We talked about effective rehearsal techniques recently, so you have all the tools that you need there. Then the key thing, this is mindset based, right? Be patient, be kind, let the progress happen, give it the time it needs, you know, and know that you will have ups and downs. Your timeline, your journey, your development journey is a long one, and you want it to be that because it means you have lasting power. You're going to change and develop the whole way through. But always keep that big picture in mind, okay, that grand plan. Same with like now. So how do you want to be like at what are your goals for yourself as a performer? Keep that big picture in mind. But even now for the next month, who do you want to be when you get out of this? Like, did I say my vision? Okay, this is who I want to be. I want to show up daily to inspire and share ways that you can stay focused on your vocal and creative development, plus encourage you to pay special attention to maintaining and boosting your vocal, physical, and mental well-being, self-care goals, and rituals. Okay, and that's neat. We're going to come out stronger, and you will come out stronger at the end of this as well too. Oh my God, I'm doing really well. I can't believe I went through that so quickly. So let me get out of that so that I can share some other stuff with you. And I really hope all the tech and everything is working well. Am I coming back again? Hi. Okay. How's that? I think I can see some people have been on and off. I just have to refresh, check if there are any questions. Oh, thanks, Brian. I'm feeling a bit fancy. Oh, there are three comments. Why can I not see them? Oh, yeah. Oh, Brian. Thanks, Brian. Now, this is the time, okay, where if you do want to get in and jump on to come live and talk to me, do it. I have about 27% battery left, so this is going to be quick. But remember I mentioned, so this is the time for any questions. But remember I mentioned I had a question. So this is from Yasmin. She said, how do you navigate releases that don't go as planned? And so this is my answer around that. And something that I'd like you – oh, I see the messages coming up now. This is good. This is something that I want you to consider moving forward all the time, no matter what you're doing, whether it's you're posting on YouTube, you're releasing music, every step, every little thing that you do as part of releasing anything out into the world, it's a planting of a seed. The growth may not happen in that moment, but you are definitely laying the foundations in your practice, in your connecting with your audience, in your performances. You are connecting both with yourself as a creative, but you're planting seeds with your prospective audience. So that kind of connection does need to happen all year round. You can use your tools. Like, honestly, if I really feel that musicians and creatives should be focusing on YouTube. I've always thought this. Facebook and Instagram are amazing. Keep that if you've got the time and the energy, but otherwise, YouTube. And so ways that you can do this is to consider the connection. Now, I'm just going to give me a second to try and find these notes that I have. But the goal is to think about all of the activities that you do. Oh, my goodness, is this going to come up now? I don't know if it is. Let me find it. I want you to think of all the things that you do as planting of seeds. Give me a second. I want to find this for you. Where is it? Oh, here it is. Great. And so I'm just going to read this because it's probably easier. It's more eloquent. I've thought about it in advance. Okay. So referencing in real life relationships when you are connecting, and how to nurture those as the foundation for creating authentic connection when you're delivering or releasing music. Time, you know, online at a gig or your creative collaborative squad, use those real life relationships as a template. So if we are to look at how relationships or stages of intimacy develop in real life human relationships, and this is also in animals, I don't know why I said human, but in real life relationships, there are 12 stages of intimacy. Now, stage one is eye to body. You notice the person and you're interested. Stage two is eye to eye. Your eyes meet, you notice each other, you're interested in each other. Stage three is voice to voice. You talk, you call, you text, you email, and it can be a long stage at this point because you're emotionally bonding. You're starting that bonding process. Stage four is hand to hand. You hold hands. It might be an accidental touch or it could be deliberate, but you feel special. You feel like there's an actual physical connection. Hand to shoulder. You put your arm around the shoulder, and this might even publicize your relationship. Number six of the 12 stages is hand to waist. Your arms are around each other's waist. You know this person is about as well as you know your best friend, and you like what you know. You know where this is heading, right? Seven is face-to-face. You hug and you kiss. You start physically bonding, which is an extension of the emotional bond that you've taken time to establish. Eight is hand-to-head. I was really surprised to find hand-to-head so far down the stages of intimacy in relationships. You run your fingers through their hair. They cradle your face. They stroke your face. Not at the moment, though, COVID-19. And this shows a deepening trust, jokes aside. Nine, hand-to-body. For obvious reasons, the following steps will then progress rapidly after this. Mouth-to-body, touching below the waist, and then the home run intercourse. And so those are the 12 stages of intimacy. Let's flip the script. The 9 stages of digital intimacy. And this is what I want you to keep in mind as the seeds that are being planted, both by creating YouTube content, both by releasing music regularly and performing regularly, whether it's live streams or song, you know, recorded performances that are going up. This is what I need you to remember. And this is in response to, I've already sent Yasmin this information, but I wanted to explain it as well too, to just say it's not a failure. Your release is not a failure. Just because it hasn't landed in the way that you wanted it to, what's happening is you're planting seeds. So you're going through these stages of intimacy and connecting with people. And I'll explain why it's important at the end. Okay, so the 9 stages. Number one, eye to artist. So, or brand, if you will. This might be a logo, an ad, or an image of your artistry, which is why it's important to keep these consistent, because we've got so much information, so many different images moving past us all the time. Make it recognizable instantly, sonically as well. The stage two of digital intimacy is brain to brand or artist. So the brand is recognized as something worth paying attention to. So the brain kicks in and starts analyzing. Stage three is brand or artist to thought. So now that you as an artist are on my mind, the brain starts to create an impression of this brand. Is it for me? Is this artist for me? Do they inspire and entertain me? Number four is thought to interest. So the brain has determined that you, the artist or brand, is for me and begins to assess the need. Now, this is a stage that you might recognize as the pivot that happens when you start to think about, oh my God, that artist, oh my God, and you want to find out more about them. How much more do you need to connect with them? So this is stage five, interest to action. The brain likes what it sees enough to take action. And it looks at more pages. You know, that's where you go down that YouTube rabbit hole, where you're like, oh, what else have they done? What else have they done? Oh my God, there's videos of them when they were 13. Whoa. And you just feed into it. You follow them on social. And then stage six is the action to investment. It looks like this. The prospective fan has found relevant information during the YouTube black hole dive and is ready to invest. And so the investment could be more. It could be money, so buying some stuff, merch, tickets to gigs, or, you know, emotional investment in information about you, like who are you as an artist? Reading a bit more. Oh, my battery's going to go to sleep soon, so I'm going to be as quick as I can. So if you do want to get on live, now's your chance, but you can always request afterwards and I'll check the Facebook stream for them to answer them. Then stage seven is investment to relationship. After investing time, information, or money, the prospect begins a relationship with the artist during the core offering purchase, let's call it. So that's once they've bought a ticket to your show, now they're excited. They've got, oh, I can't wait to see so-and-so live on stage. And that investment in the relationship has begun. Once they've gone to your show or in that process, it becomes the next stage becomes a relationship to a friend. If all goes well, the brand is no longer a brand or a company or just another artist. It's a familiar friend that is allowed to move freely between the digital space. And so that's where you would be like, instead of saying, oh, I don't know, this artist, Beyonce, you'd be like, Beyonce, or you'd start to call people by their first name. That's where you feel very connected with the artist. And then the most important stage, and this is one that we do all the time already, is stage nine, friend to advocate. And this is the most powerful stage. This is when enough value in the relationship, in the sonic and the musical relationship has happened, that advocacy becomes the last stage. So this is where someone tells someone else how awesome you are as an artist and encourages via word of mouth or referral, which is the ultimate in marketing. So when somebody tells me about an artist, I love it, firstly, because there's so much music out there that just comes from a trusted source and I know to just go and deep dive into that artist. But it's so weighted with, it's already been kind of vetted in a way, and someone's gone like, yeah, they're awesome, I love them, and there's this and this and this. That's what you want to be. You want your audience to advocate for you so that they don't have to go and trawl through YouTube to find you. It's word of mouth, directly person to person. So what me talking you through that has hopefully explained is that those nine stages of intimacy, they're going to take some time. The 12 stages of human intimacy, sometimes and often, depending on how long the relationship lasts, will also take time to foster and nurture. So you can't rush that. And so let's just say it's let's just say 12 months. So if you've got a 12-month relationship with another human being, potentially it might take about the same to nurture your audience into being an advocate for you. So I really want you to consider that anything that you do and that you release adds to your body of work that they can deep dive into, regardless of the success that it's had upon release. And then it will continue to build and grow and develop that relationship. The key, though, is consistency. So like any friendship, if we expect our audience to turn up and be available to us when we only have things to release, so when we're asking for something, their attention, it's hard. It's like a friend that you don't hear from in ages, and then all of a sudden they call you up and they're like, can you help me move house, or can you sing at my wedding? And you're like, yeah, I love you, but like, you really haven't been nurturing this relationship at all. And sometimes with really good friends, when the foundations have been laid super solid, like with me and Adele, when she releases that album in September, you know I'm going to buy it straight away. I don't care that she hasn't released anything or that I haven't seen her. We are tight, and we are tight because the foundations were laid very firmly in the beginning. As a new artist, though, you don't have that luxury, just like you don't with new friendships or new relationships. You really have to put in the work, lay down those foundations, and then continue to nurture it outside of your releases. And that will guarantee that you get, because remember, the end goal is not the 1,000 streams or whatever it is that you're looking for in that moment upon releasing. It's the advocacy long term of you via word of mouth to another person, because that's the most powerful thing, and that's just going to take time, and it's going to take regular nurturing. Oof, what did you think about that, y'all? And I'm like so stoked that I've actually stuck to an hour. I'm so stoked. Please, 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 please let me know if you have any questions or comments. I'm going to be bouncing all of this down and popping it in the group and then sending it to you on Sunday. I will be going live, like I say, next week, and the Get Gig Fit 30-Day Action Plan is going to roll out from the 1st of April. I'll let you know more about that in the email on Sunday. Email me questions. Let me know how I can support you better. Jump into any online resources that you and I have already created, whether it's in our vocal coaching sessions, or I have a YouTube channel. That go to the Big Notes Get Votes site on the blog and have a look through that. You've got something like 12 weeks, I think, that we've been recording these things. You have 12 weeks of resources that you can go back and catch up on if you have the time. You have your practice plans. You have everything you need. But like I say, I'm here and I want to know what else you might need so that I can support you throughout this time. We will continue to be in touch. I genuinely love you and really want you guys to be safe and look after all of those elements of yourself, creatively, your voice, but most importantly, your well-being. So please let me know what I can do. Have an amazing day, and I cannot wait to hear from you again soon. And I will see you on Sunday in an email. I might even send you some extra vids. Take care.